Adam Angieski is joining me this morning. Adam, I've missed talking to you, man. How have you been?
Well, been doing very well, Tom. Very well at both, you know, capturing government spending and giving it oversight. So I'm really happy to join your radio program today. Thank you very much for your interest in our work.
You know, and what's interesting is Open the Books is what we're talking about today, a movement and a website that Adam is mentoring here right now and kind of illustrating financial just spending that's out of control. Once upon a time, there was a man called William Proxmire, Senator William Proxmire, who had the Golden Fleece Awards. And each month, he would highlight, and then he would have a list for the end of the years of the ways that we spend money that, you know, well, I mean, giving quails cocaine to see if they're more promiscuous, as was recently mentioned on the, I think, Senate floor, is just one small example. You have example after example after example.
So, Tom, our honorary chairman is the legendary former U.S. Senator Dr. Tom Coburn from Oklahoma. And so at OpenTheBooks.com, we're carrying forward Coburn's robust legacy. It was obviously Coburn that teamed up with then-Illinois Senator Barack Obama in 2006 to do the Google Your Government Act, which opened the federal checkbook to sunshine for the first time ever. Coburn carried forward Proxmire's legacy of that Golden Fleece, exposing all kinds of waste, including the Bridge to Nowhere back in the day. And we've just come out with an oversight report. Everybody listening to your program can come to OpenTheBooks.com. We have a big graphic in the middle of our homepage called Where's the Pork? We literally mapped $600 billion worth of 2016 federal grants across the country. So you can click a pin, which is a zip code, and right there in Southern Illinois, you can see who received what from the $600 billion worth of federal grant making.
Schools, I see, get them at, what was it, 6% of all grant money?
Six or seven? I think so. I mean, you know, we determined, Tom, that there's basically a grant for everybody. If you are a child in China, and if you want to learn how to cross your busy street, the American taxpayer funded a $200,000 grant to create a virtual reality platform to help Chinese kids cross their busy street. If you're a senior in Massachusetts, in Boston, and you want to learn Tai Chi at your senior center, the American taxpayer put $700,000 into a grant to help seniors learn Tai Chi. If you're a California prostitute, the American taxpayer funded $1.5 million to teach California prostitutes sex education, and they could probably teach the class.
Right, and to save needle use, too, so let's not forget that.
Well, prostitution in California and 48 other states is illegal. So
what's interesting, Adam, is when I was looking down one of those, is the grant things, that there was like four or five Forbes 500 companies that receive federal grants.
Well, you're right. So it's not only these micro examples, and we identified 50 of them, and we could have put 500 of them in the report. But it's also our most successful corporations, the Fortune 100. So we took a look at the last three fiscal years, and the federal grants, these are subsidies flowing into our most successful and wealthy corporations in this country, and it's $3.2 billion. And the, you know, they can't make the argument that they need the money. They want our subsidy, but what's the public purpose for working and middle-class taxpayers to fund our Fortune 100 companies? I think it's lacking. I think these grants should be cut off.
You know, when you look at some of the breakouts that you've done, on, you know, that I think it was Vermont, there's grant money to the total of, for every taxpayer, like $2,700 worth of grants per taxpayer, you know, and you start looking at this. But here's the thing. Adam Angieski is joining us. Open the Books. Great place to go online, OpenTheBooks.com. You and I can sit here and talk about, oh, we're going to teach prostitute sex education. We're going to, all right, we come up with these incredibly foolish ways in which we spend money. We're going to create cartoons. The U.S. Postal Service just recently got caught doing this as well, spending millions of dollars to be able to create a dramatic series about postal inspectors, right? $2.5 million in NASA to create Space Racers animated children's cartoon. You know, so we can talk about this. But here's the thing, Adam. All right, this is a symptom. If we continue down this road of uncontrolled spending, I mean, there are different ways of looking at it, but we're talking about, imagine the service on our debt being equal to our entire gross domestic product, or our spending equaling or rivaling our entire military budget just to service the debt. We think that's foolish, but the dates we're talking about here are within shooting distance, right? 2020, 2025, we start to see that our debt costs us so much, we'll have to start giving things up.
Well, you're exactly right. So right now, in real time, we've got a $21 trillion national debt. And what that means, per man, woman, and child, each of us owe $60,000. So if you're a family of four, your household share of our national debt is $240,000 for your family. Nobody's got a plan how to pay this back, but I'll tell you this much. It starts with a little fiscal sanity in Washington, D.C. And look, Coburn identified the problem a long time ago, and it's careerism. These big-spending Republicans and Democrats, they feel to get reelected, to further their own career, they have to spend our money. And many times what we are finding that it's absolutely silly and frivolous spending, and this stuff needs to be cut.
It was interesting, and I think Robert Heinlein may have written this back in the 1950s, I think in his book, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress, that the height of tyranny is to take money away from a man and spending it on something he doesn't want or need. And I've always thought that was interesting in relationship to our subject this morning.
Quote.
Right? I mean, when you look at this, because to be honest with you, Anna, after I did interviews with Congressman Jerry Costello for years and years, I started reflecting on those, and I found out all along the Democratic congressman was warning about this, that what this represents to our country of being covered up in our own debt. And I wonder, what is the best way to make that point when you realize the uncontrolled spending? And this last budget, you know, it did not help any, because you just wrote this article that Trump needs, I believe, a bridge to nowhere moment. What does this mean?
Right, exactly. So our honorary chair, Dr. Tom Coburn, and I, we co-authored in the Washington Examiner a piece, advice to the president. You know, back in the day, Coburn, as a freshman United States senator, stood in the well of the Senate with an amendment armed to stop an earmark, a $300 million earmark from mainland Alaska to an island that served less than 100 people. He lost the vote that night. He only got 15 votes, but he eventually won the argument when the American people began to find out where their tax dollars were being spent. Now, Republicans retaliated against Coburn. In the Senate, they stripped him of his ability to practice medicine while a United States senator. So there's cost to courage. But this is what we feel the president should do. Every week, he should call a press conference, hold up these grants, and tell the American people where their tax dollars are going, have his agency heads hold back on the spending of those grants and push the rescissions into Congress and start to get some positive votes on cutting this spending.
What do you think, if you were going today to make your point beyond any shadow of a doubt, that we, because right now I'm in the Japanese quail research, where we spent $360,000 on giving them cocaine to see if they were more promiscuous. I mean, they could have asked a long list of people and gotten an answer a lot cheaper. Yes is the answer, by the way, in quails and humans. The thought that nobody knows that and we have to spend $250,000 to figure it out is insulting. So what's yours? What's your
thing. Here, it's a big ticket, and it blows everybody away, left, right, and center. We identified on our team that the average bureaucrat, the average civil service worker at the federal level, gets 43 days a year of paid time off. And that's, Tom, 8.5 weeks. And this isn't France. And that benefit alone cost the American taxpayer, we estimate, $23 billion last year. Now, I think we've convinced the president to lead on this. I had a private meeting at the Eisenhower Executive Building, the Office of Management and Budget, in the Office of President, and they said the president hears that, and in the 2019 budget to Congress, he's going to work to scale that 43 days, 10 holidays, 13 sick days, and 20 vacation days to scale that back.
a lot of money in a lot of different ways in this country. And what's interesting is you talk very often in your website about transparency. If people want to go over and take a look at some of this stuff, because he has, is this, how new is this report, Where's the Pork? Open the Books Oversight Report. How new is that?
So we took a look at, that was fiscal year 2016, so the last year of the Obama administration.
Right.
And we're cutting right now in crowdsourcing reforms on the 2017 grant making, which is over $600 billion.
So we went up from $583 billion to over $600?
So the new file shows north of $630 billion.
Whoa.
Now, some of that could be as a result of better reporting. For instance, in 2016, the State Department didn't report any grants, and in 2017, they actually reported their grants. So some of that was just underneath the last year of the Obama administration. They just didn't report all the spending. To the extent that the reporting is happening, the number is a lot larger in 2017.
Go over to the website, openthebooks.com, and take a look at Adam Andrzejewski and his organization's work on how your money is being spent. You know, I very often, have you ever thought, seen a figure and then do the math on how much your money is and kind of look at something and go, I'd like my money back?
All the time.
All the time. It's not just me. Can I get my money back? I want my money back. And what's interesting is, you know, they're having this conversation today on a little different level here in Southern Illinois around SIU and the Board of Trustees.
Right.
Six months
of severance and plus a higher back contract for six figures as a professor, right?
Right. $215,000 severance, $100,000 at his new job in Edwardsville, and then, of course, bringing on the interim president. You know, this transparency does work because the Board of Trustees website had both contracts. I mean,
great.
I'm looking literally at the contracts this morning. Can't help but wonder if somewhere in the executive session they won't be talking about firing Randy Dunn with cause.
And over the course of the next couple of days, we're getting ready to break a big statewide story on another egregious payout. So stay tuned from our shop as well, Tom. I'd love to come back on your program.